Hi, everybody. Steve Savitsky. Welcome back to Savitsky Talks. And today we have Rabbi Dov Emerson. Rabbi Emerson is the assistant principal at the DRS Yeshiva High School for Boys, which is part of the Hebrew Academy of Long Beach in Woodmere, New York. And he's also quite active in the whole world of technology with Twitter, etc., etc. And we'll hear all about that. And he's done a lot of work. And I've watched him actually because he was a great leader through the OU. And I remember one time coming out to California and seeing him dancing on a desk and a chair and a table. So, Dova, could you still do that today?
Yeah, every morning after chakras, it's part of the ritual.
Oh, really? That's good. Yeah. I'm glad to hear that. I keep thinking, I have this picture in my mind. Whenever I go to Beth Jacob in Los Angeles, I have pictures of you right on the table.
We like to bring NT Hawaiian to the school, keep the culture alive.
Yeah, it's good. I think it's great. Well, we've been doing a lot and, writing a great little article here that you wrote for us. And it's going to be in the Jewish Action in the 2012 summer edition. About technology. And in the article that you write, you make a really interesting point, which I never thought of. And you say, like the smartphone, the internet, and everything else, they're not tools. They're really part of the existence of the kids today. In other words, we don't look at a pen as a tool or, something like that. They don't look at this as a tool. It's just part of their life, correct?
Sure. Yeah, they don't really look at it as technology even. We look at technology as something new, meaning 5 years ago if it didn't exist, now this is technology. This is something I did not have before. When you grow up with it, you kind of take it for granted that is always going to be there. And that's what our kids do.
So how does that change? So what does that mean because of that?
Well, I think it certainly changes the expectations of the students. I think that it becomes more difficult to, create this, have these two distinct models where, from 7 a.m. or 8 a.m. until 6 p.m., whatever the school day is, you're operating in a, model that has remained largely unchanged for many years. And then when they go home, now we're back in 2012 with all the associated aspects of that. I think that, it becomes a challenge, therefore, to kind of meet the students where they are at, utilizing the language and the tools that they are conversant in, while at the same time, obviously, upholding standards and utilizing these things in a responsible educational way.
And you talk about, the difference between being, let's say, you call tech proficient, which they are, and tech responsible. Could you kind of tell everybody about that a little bit more?
Sure. I think, all of us have had that experience where, and whatever year we're talking about, whether it's the VCR clock, blinking and trying to set it or, to set the, to fix some sort of printer issue on a computer, we all often go to the kids because they can set these things up very quickly and they're quite proficient at being able to, maneuver around technology very quickly and very easily. They're not afraid about messing up. They like to experiment, that leads to them really knowing the ins and outs of how to use these things very well. But at the same time, they don't, as being students and adolescents, or younger, their minds are still developing, and they're not yet at a point where they can, really make full and clear decisions on everything. And with regards to utilizing technology in a responsible way, that's something that they need still a lot of guidance on. And that's something where we have the opportunity as educators, as parents, as the adults in their lives, we have the opportunity to model for them and to teach them about.
So is the educational model changing? Let's say, I know you're in DRS, but just other schools also. You know about other schools. Are they changing the educational model to teach responsibility? Are there courses on it, lectures? How do we do this?
I think that different schools employ different models. I think that, in DRS, we try to approach it, in two distinct ways, one of which, is a direct message, and that is, we have programs, safe computing, internet education, and so forth, where the program themselves the program itself is directed at the students and parents, for that matter, in terms of teaching them, you know, about safety online. Whereas, you know, the focus a few years ago was about, you know, preventing, you know, online predators and stuff like that. It's moved considerably now to discussions of, you know, what it means to have a, you know, what's called a digital footprint. You know, how you present yourself online in using social media and posting pictures and posting comments. How you communicate. Does if someone Googles you and they see this, you know, composite of your online life, is that going to be something that's going to get you a job in the future, or is it going to lose you a job in the future? Mm-hmm. You know, so we have that component, and then the other component, I think, is really one of the, you know, one compelling reason for integrating technology in the classroom, which is when you utilize the technology in the classroom as a teacher, we have the chance to model it for our students. So, you know, if I post online a question for homework that I want everyone to respond to, and I see in some of the responses students are, you know, calling each other names or are using some sort of insulting language or whatever the case may be, I have the opportunity to go back and say, let's talk about what it means to make a thoughtful comment and not one that's going to necessarily hurt someone's feelings. And in doing so, you're kind of showing them about that, you know, about that tech responsibility, that they're responsible for how they conduct themselves online, just like in the real world.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're certainly of the opinion, I presume, from reading the article and knowing you, that, as you say, social media is here to stay. So we recently had this SIFA, which was kind of set up in a way to maybe deny or try to say we could ignore what's going on. Do you agree with that, disagree?
You know, I think that, you know, we have a big tent in Orthodox Judaism, and there's a lot of different streams, and there's a lot of different, you know, modes of thought. And I think that different communities, you know, have to kind of figure out for themselves what are going to be the appropriate guidelines. I think that certainly within the community that I operate in, and that generally the OU operates in, within the modern Orthodox community, it's certainly skews towards people that are, you know, comfortable using and accepting of, you know, technology and accepting of social media, and, you know, looking to utilize it in positive ways. You look at, you know, the Torah programming that is produced on the OU website. You look at the Torah programming that is produced by YU Torah and the like. There's definitely a feeling and a strong belief that this is a tool that can be utilized to do a lot of wonderful things. And I think that's certainly, you know, a message that has to be stressed within our community. That being said, other communities feel that, you know, it serves them better to move away from that and to say, you know, we're gonna access our information perhaps in a different way.
No, I agree. My own personal opinion is that, you know, you can't stop it because it's just, it's here. As you say, and this is just my opinion, I'm not asking you for yours right now, I don't want to put you on the spot, but it's here to stay. It's going to get faster, better, less expensive, and so therefore you can't ignore it. And
right.
What you have to do is find ways of integrating it into your life. And like someone said to me, I think one of the articles that somebody wrote, they said that the best, the best system out there, okay, and the best control that you could put out is Yirat Shamayim. That's the best filter in the world. That's the best filter. And I think that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to say, look, you know, if you're a Torah true Jew, you have to know what you can do and what you can't do. And, you know, the technology is going to get faster and better, but, you know, we have to figure out a way of harnessing it. That's really what we're trying
to
do.
And I think it is going to be more difficult, you know, for if a community does want to shut it out completely. It's just, you know, as you said, you know, it is here, and it's going to be more difficult to do that. And you know, to a certain degree, that's one of the reasons why I feel that, you know, responsible usage is how, you know, how it should
right.
be.
Now, do you think we're going to find a way of utilizing it to do more online education also? And will that, you know, we've been working real hard at the OU to see what we can do about the cost of tuition. And one of the ways, of course, is, you know, government funding and many, many other things. But one of them also is online education. Do you see that happening in the near future, or is it really something down the road?
You know, to me, I think that it's going to be difficult to implement in the short term, and I think that, you know, educationally, it really has to be thought about how it can be accomplished in the, you know, in the best way. I think that, you know, from my perspective, the promise of, you know, online content is in the way that it can complement the classroom experience. You know, there are, you know, Jewish educators that are out there already experimenting with this concept called flipping the classroom, which has become popularized with the advent of Khan Academy, you know, and other online, you know, right. sites like that, where the teachers are creating content, video content and the like, that the students are, you know, are asked to, you know, view and reflect on, you know, prior to the class or as a review of the class. You know, generally that's not going to, you know, the downside is that that's not really going to result in the cost savings that we're talking about, but I think it certainly can enhance the level of education. In terms of, you know, straight online classes, I think, you know, there are several, you know, groups and organizations that are experimenting with different things, and you know, I would imagine that there will be some form of that, and I certainly think, you know, in terms of offering, you know, more unique or more advanced classes for particular students within a school, especially within the Jewish day school, can offer some economic benefits. But wholesale, I think we're still a little ways off.
You think so? You still think we're some years away from this? Yeah, let's hope it works, because I think it's a great thing, and it's a way of utilizing technology to hopefully even improve education, but also make it more affordable.
Yeah.
But I think in the article, you know, you talk a lot, and I think you make a really good point about what you really call reputation management.
Mm-hmm.
I think people don't understand that what they do, and they put something online, or they post something, it's there forever. Unlike, you know, the way it was at one point in time. I mean, it's pretty hard for someone to become a Baal Tshuva when everybody knows what they
sure.
did 30 years ago, and you could see it every day.
Sure. Yeah, it's definitely you know, a very serious and potentially scary thing, and you know, the more that we can, you know, we certainly try to do that, you know, in school, to hit home to the students that, you know, if you wouldn't do that on Central Avenue, don't do it online. You know, and you know, that they really have to recognize that this is the world that we live in. You know, employers and prospective schools and you know, shiduchim and all sorts of things that you're looking at. You know, people that's how people will research you. When you meet someone, you Google them. That's often the way of the world now. And you know, their digital footprint is something that they should be proud of. It should you know. And I think that's an important point to make also, that you know, the opportunity to utilize it in a positive way, meaning we're talking about not being negative. We're talking about it that it shouldn't, you know, hurt your reputation by some of the negative content that a person posts. But I think that it's also important for us to recognize how powerful on the positive end it can be. If I think, again, that's another powerful argument for integrating technology in the classroom, because the ability to generate, for the students to generate their own content, is something that, you know, that you know, that they can create, you know, an online portfolio, if you will, of items that they've created, whether it's in video form or text form or whatever the case may be. And that's something that can be very powerful in a very positive way, you know, in the next stage of their career, whatever it may be.
Yeah, no, it's really great. I know you talk a lot about also your trip that you had to Boston and how you had different grades. Why don't you explain that? That was really fascinating.
Yeah, well, one of the things that we did this year was try to integrate the use of different creative ideas into our student activities, and Rabbi Eli Brazil, Rabbi Nathan Farber have really been wonderful in that regard. And one of the things that we did was, surrounding the trips, we created some Twitter names, or they're known on Twitter as hashtags, and we started contests and different opportunities for students to tweet, you know, different things or a picture from the trip or whatever the case may be. We had different contests, and we had them each use one hashtag called DRS Boston, and because all three of our grades went to Boston together. And one of the things that was really incredible to see, you know, was even though we were all three grades on different itineraries and we got together a couple times on the trip, we were pretty much separate for most of the trip. It created this unity because everyone was kind of communicating with each other. When you have a junior and a freshman, you know, tweeting back and forth to each other, and when you have, you know, kids that normally are on the more quiet side, but now all of a sudden they're talking excitedly, you know, even, you know, in an online fashion, you know, that's something that I think is very special. And I think that that added a whole element to the trip, certainly. And I think it certainly reinforced for me the power, you know, that technology can have in terms of bringing voices out by students who otherwise may not be comfortable raising their hand and talking in a classroom. But if you give them an opportunity, you know, if you send out a quiz question and everyone can respond online, so you see they also know it, and they have a tremendous amount to add as well.
You think it's important for parents to become more tech savvy, because otherwise they're losing this, you know, we talk about the generation gap and how, you know, there was a great, at one point there was a tremendous generation gap, especially when parents came from Europe and then the kids were American, and then later on they kind of, everyone was more or less the same, a little different, but there's a generation gap. I sense a generation gap because of technology today, and what can we do about that?
Yeah, I definitely think that is the case, and people utilize the terms digital natives and digital immigrants, you know, and that as kind of signifying that generational gap that you're talking about. And I think that, part of it, part of it has to do with just, you know, keeping that relationship open. I'm taking a course with Dr. Pelkovitz right now, and we're talking about all the different, you know, afflictions that afflict communities. And the bottom line for correcting all of them has to do with solid relationships between parents and children and teachers and students. And I think, you know, that applies whether we're talking about technology or anything else, that the emphasis has to be on the open communication, that the relationship has to be out there, that the children can feel comfortable talking to parents about anything. On a more practical level with regards to technology, I think that you know, we do need to become more educated. And I think that, you know, the Jewish Action, you know, feature that is coming out is, you know, is an attempt to do that. And, you know, educational programs and such as the one that we run for our students and parents is another attempt at doing that. And I think that certainly the basic things about, you know, having a filter on the computer, having it in a public place, being interested in our children just like we would about how they were doing in school, you know, oh, what's going on? You saw that video clip from the Major League Baseball game today. You know, what'd you think about that? And keep those lines of communication open. But I definitely think we need to, you know, educate right. ourselves. We don't need to be, super tech, IT people, but we certainly need to understand what shift is taking place.
Right. I think that's a great point, though, because you can't just, expect, in other words, a parent can't say the technology part of my child's life is something, a domain that I know nothing about, and I'm going to leave it alone, because that becomes an important part of their life.
Sure.
It is their life. As you
sure.
said, it's not just, you know, part of it. It is their life. And if you as a parent don't understand at least part of it or can't communicate with them, it's almost like the old days. I'm telling you, it's almost like the old days when the parents came and they spoke Yiddish and the kids spoke English and there was no communication. They're speaking a different language. So
100%.
I guess we have our challenges, but we've always had our challenges. So I'm sure you're optimistic about it.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think, you know, on the positive end, certainly in schools, I think that, you know, we're moving as a educational community, we're moving in a positive direction towards utilizing technology in effective ways. There's a lot of exciting stuff happening amongst different teachers. Teachers are getting together, and communicating and using actually social media and online communities to get together and share ideas, which is something that, you know, the general education community out there in this country is ahead of us on, but we're catching up. And, you know, we have this year we started an online weekly Twitter chat called Jed Chat that meets Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern that, we vote on a topic, and Jewish educators from around the country get together and on Twitter discuss a particular issue.
That's great.
You know, we're really trying to move away from teaching as an isolating profession, that outside of the classroom walls you have this whole support network that can help you, that can share ideas, that you can learn from, that you can contribute to them as well. And it's really exciting.
Well, that's terrific. And I know you're going to be at the cutting edge of it, Rabbi Dov Emerson, up-and-coming star, a star already, in my mind, for sure, but an even further, okay, assistant principal at DRS High School. And, I think you're going to be one of the leaders as we go forward. So thanks a lot for being on the program. And thank you so much for writing that beautiful article in the Jewish Action. I'm sure everyone's going to enjoy it.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.